my plan was is I have a cell phone with a earplug and just plug it into the guitar. And, you know, a very nice godbrother of mine who lives in New Jersey, but somehow I haven't seen him in 25 years. And he's a sannyasi, Madhava Puri Maharaj. And he's a doctor in quantum chemistry. And he was one of the original founding members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And he still is sannyasi in good standing. So. Okay. Rati?
Yes, Marsh?
Yeah, how many people tonight? Because it's a...
I have to check. Cause I have to call in on the... No, I'm not called in on the right code to
okay.
check that. I'm calling in on...
Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Mahal. Okay, you can go hear his lecture and I'll... What? Yeah. Really? Easy? Oh, really? Okay.
Grimrush?
Yeah.
There's 10 people on right now.
Okay. This, that's quite few for this class. You know, it's really been hectic. We're gonna let you listen to Jai Advaita Maharaj's class. We're gonna put it by the speaker, okay?
Okay.
This morning. But there are five things that are particularly important in, among the regulative principles: to associate with devotees, to serve the deities, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant Hare Krishna, to live in a sacred place where Krishna is present. These five things have tremendous potency, and Srila Prabhupada practically built his whole mission on these principles. If you look at what's going on in Prabhupada's movement, these things are always there, right up front, in the festivals, in the daily morning program, in the movement as a whole. These things are standing out. And some other things that might have been there in the tradition, I might give them very much importance. The hearing, chanting, these things. The things that most potently reawaken the devotional mood of the devotee. These things are cultivated, emphasized, made the subject of great endeavors for proper training, proper understanding, proper practice. All these things are there. So in this way, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I'm giving just a little nutshell because he's expanded these topics at considerable length and with proper scholarly references. But he's made these points about Srila Prabhupada's unique contribution. Prabhupada himself summarized it by saying, "Old wine in a new bottle." Keeping the substance the same, and the package may differ. So if you recall, that perfectly preserved the substance and perfectly presented it, wrapped it up, and put it before us, so that we're able to understand this Krishna consciousness movement, practice this Krishna consciousness movement, and spread this Krishna consciousness movement. There's some architect, I forget who it was, maybe it was, I've forgotten which one now. I tribute of the guy to the British architect. And his epitaph was that if you want to see his contribution, just look around. The buildings were there. So if you want to see his epitaph. Was it Christopher Wren? I think you're probably right, don't you? If you want to see his epitaph, look around. So the same words could be said about Srila Prabhupada, except that Srila Prabhupada left so much more than beautiful buildings. He did that also. But this entire Krishna consciousness movement is the legacy of Srila Prabhupada, and we can all be grateful to him and appreciative of him for this wonderful life-transforming, life-saving movement of Krishna consciousness. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
What?
Yeah, we'll ask His Holiness Bhakti Mata Purimaj to speak to us. For those who've come a little later, he's one of the important disciples of Srila Prabhupada, especially in the scientific teaching. Srila Prabhupada, one of his ambitions was to spread Krishna consciousness, not as a mere religious movement, but to present it in scientific language as a scientific subject matter for understanding. So Bhakti Mata Purimaj was one of the founding members of the Bhakti Vedanta Institute that Srila Prabhupada formed for this purpose. And very honored that he's come to be with this guy, and I'm anxious to hear from him.
This is the speaker. What do I speak? How's the reception? Can you hear? This is Dhanadhar Swami.
It's fine, Maharaj. You can hear very nicely.
Well, I'll accept the person.
Okay.
And also the illustrious as my title, Dhanadhar Maharaj. I only had a short time in association with Srila Prabhupada. No, a few times that I met Srila Prabhupada personally. And there's been a much more personal association with him than I ever had. But those times are very potent. Let me get off of my other evening to Prabhupada, then I'll try to say something. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiyami Namaste Sarasvati Devam Guru Vani Pacharane Om Vishesha Puni Vani Pashtuta Vani Pachitane. Well, I was remembering when I was coming here, what I would say if you asked me to speak. I was remembering something that was a very, I call it a secret mantra that Prabhupada gave me. And one morning, on a morning walk, it was the first time I went on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, I think it was around 1974 or something like that. And Nityananda had introduced me to Srila Prabhupada as a scientist. And Prabhupada always loved the scientists, loved to defeat them. So right away he wanted to defeat me. Oh, you're a scientist. And anyhow, and before he could really smash me, I told Prabhupada, I think you are the greatest scientist. And it was amazing. He stopped dead in his tracks. And he turned around and looked at me, and he had a smile that went from ear to ear. I don't know if you've ever seen Prabhupada's smile. It's so huge, and there are something that are like gold shining filling there. And even more surprising than his smile were the words that were coming out of his mouth. And he said to me, "Yes, I think so." that introduction we should have thought about. Then he gave me this mantra. And this is not a big mantra. He gave it in all of his books. It was there, in, especially in the first shloka, in Bhagavatam, Chanmadasya, Tanvayadi, Parakastra, Krishna, Vyas. He told me that this matter comes from life. This is the mantra he gave me. Matter comes from life. And he said, I want you to put this into your scientific knowledge. And of course, he told me that, and he was explaining something about that. And I never understood how in the world could I could do such a thing. How could I ever do such a thing to prove that something so complicated like that? And now he told me, and I said, yes, Papa, I'll do it. And I felt very fortunate because he had given me some instruction, and it was very rare to get an instruction from a spiritual master to do some service. Even though I had no idea how he would do it, I put that within my heart, and said, Papa, I would do anything in my life to do that. And I tried to write some articles on that, and if he published one in the Black Society magazine on that topic. Anyhow, a couple of years later, I was in Boston, living at the Boston Temple. We had established the Institute there. And one day I heard that there was a lecture going on at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And there was one speaker, a Nobel laureate. His name was George Wolf. And so I went there and wanted to speak with him. I didn't know anything, but anyhow, I wanted to go there and to speak to the scientists and try to convince them of this scientific nature of Krishna consciousness, like Maharaj explained. And Prabhupada did want this to be understood not just as a sentimental religious movement, but that it was a scientific statement of reality. That the absolute truth is the ultimate reality that people of the world have to understand. And you were mentioning so many times, you mentioned the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada had mentioned in one prayer that he wrote to the spiritual master that absolutely sentient, thou hast proved, in personal calamity, thou hast moved. And when Bhaktisiddhanta heard these words, he was very impressed with Prabhupada. That you have caught the essence of what I'm trying to teach. And actually, when I came to Krishna consciousness, this is the thing that impressed me most, because as a scientist, I learned so much about life being just a collection of molecules. And I was very disappointed in that whole conception. So the first thing I caught my attention when I went to the book, the first time I read the movie, was that they said that God is a person, and that you are a person. And, you know, the light bulb went out of my eye, of course, you know, I am a person, you know. And the reality is personal, not impersonal. And it was the mystery that I want to learn what this is all about. But this was the thing that was missing in our whole education. So I kept mentioning that the whole personality was Godhead, because that was the step that he felt was the essential teaching of the Krishna consciousness. And what his spiritual master had also acknowledged to be a very essential point. And also the other thing that he summarized the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very unusual thing that in our Vaishnava tradition, that the spiritual master, that our spiritual master should talk about the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is considered very, actually it's a very secret part of the Vaishnava teachings. And yet he immediately wanted to present that. Why? Why did he present that to us? And he did it in such a way that we never misunderstood it. That's the reason we wanted to see that deeply, because he was a very intimate thing about the relationship with Krishna. And that's not discussed in public or in general audiences. But anyhow, he wanted to put that out there. And the reason was, again, because it was the only way that people could understand that God is really a person and has all these activities and relationships going on, and in a very definitive way, established that. of personality from this discipline of masturbation. Anyhow, then I went to this MIT meeting, a conference with Dr. George Wald. He's a Nobel laureate in physiology. He had done some research work in showing how the photoreceptors of the eye work, the chemistry behind that. And he's well known all over the world. And at the time, I didn't know him when he went there, but he was a pucker materialist. A great materialist, great atheist. And he was teaching everywhere, and people were so impressed with him. He was teaching that life was just a chance, an accident. And he had this famous saying, he would always say it in a very grand way, that stars had to die so that we could live. That we are just the product of burnt out stars, you see. Anyhow, so I went to him and I said, I gave this mantra, Prabhupada mantra to him. I said, did you ever think that matter comes from life? He was very nice. He was a very interesting person. He was very interested in what I was saying, but he didn't say anything too much. And anyhow, during the years, I kept in touch with him. A couple of years later, I moved to Bombay, and I was writing to him every once in a while. And one day, he wrote to me. He said he was coming to India, and he was going to Nepal, and then he would come to Bombay. I said, oh, yes, you're welcome to come and stay with us. And he came. And it's like he was a devotee. He came, he wanted to stay with us, he wanted to chant, he even asked to do the Bhagavatam class. Well, of course, he just talked about whatever he understood. But his whole mentality had changed. It's like, and then I read a few years later, after many years later, I should say, I read something in the internet about this George Wald that he made a complete retraction in 1979. He wrote a book called Life and Mind in the Universe. And he made a complete retraction of a paper he had published in 1954, 25 years before, in which he claimed that time was the zero of the universe because it was because of time. All that time, billions and billions of years, that life was, was able to be created out of the molecules, of the stars. And he made a complete reputation. He said, that was the biggest, worst mistake of my life, to say those things. Now I realize that mind is an eternal substance. It is there behind all the activities of this world, like that. And I was convinced that Prabhupada's mantra had converted this Nobel laureate. I convinced that's what it was. Isn't that amazing? Prabhupada is so powerful. And my only credit is presenting it as it is. That's that I learned from Srila Prabhupada. We don't have to make any big presentations. I was not that type of person, and always just I was so impressed with Srila Prabhupada, whatever he said, I would believe that, even though I couldn't understand it. I simply had faith in what he said was the correct thing, and I was preaching that. And I know my relationship with Srila Damodar was so intimate because he was just like that. He was a very simple soul, and whatever Prabhupada said, he took that. And we were like that, alike. And preaching in that manner, just whatever Prabhupada told, we were telling that. And of course, trying to add some sophisticated language so that they would think, oh, you know something, and you can speak with us. And they were accepted. Actually, they were accepted what we were saying. And, there are many other great scientists, other people have written so many books, and they all did such wonderful service to Srila Prabhupada. But my claim to fame is George Wald. And another time I remember sitting in the room with Srila Prabhupada, and he was preaching to us. And he was always very ferocious about the scientists. They wanted to pick on their face with boots and call them all rascals and this, that, and the other thing. Anyhow, I was listening to him saying all these things, and never in my life had I ever called anyone a rascal. So he was saying, you must call these scientists rascals. I don't know what expression I must have had on my face. But he looked at me and he said, "You tell them that your spiritual master said you are a rascal." So I was very happy. Like that, he was a couple of very nice remembrances I have of Srila Prabhupada, just a few things. Like I said, I didn't have much association with him, but those few times were enough to fill my entire life. And he was so merciful, he gave me this service to do, to prove that matter comes from life. And since that time, he told me that's all I've been doing, trying to show that in some way or another. And maintaining a preaching program that now I have. I've been doing mostly because I've been overtaking my illness, I have diabetes, and I haven't been able to travel much or do much as far as preaching. So that Mahaprabhu somehow or other created this internet. And on the internet, I created quite a good presence in preaching this Krishna consciousness in a scientific way through the internet. We're getting some attention, some students coming. Like that going on in my service, in spite of all difficulties, but now just managing to carry on with that one instruction that Prabhupada gave me, and so grateful that he gave me that instruction so that I would have something to absorb my life in without going in so many different directions that this world is trying to take us in. Anyhow, there are a few other things that I think that's what I'd like to say right now. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so happy to see all of you also. Try to have a pot. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, is everyone still there?
Yes.
Yes, who's that?
It's Das, Shastra Das.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry. I just need to use the room. Sorry. Good. You were able to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, that was a very, very sweet godbrother of mine. I know him for so many years. Madhava Puri Maharaj. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was Madhava Puri Maharaj. Humble soul. I'm using someone's cell phone. Actually, today was real difficult. I'm going to the place. My own cell phone doesn't have cell reception here. And I'm with Amritananda, who organized the conference, and he's running around trying to find a cell phone that works for me. Because my idea is, I have an earplug and I can do. But anyway, glory of Prabhupada. His name is Professor Michael Marchetti. And like he said, you know, he's such a humble soul that when Prabhupada said, you have to call these scientists rascals. Honestly speaking, if you know him, he said, I never called anybody a rascal in my whole life. And he's remained brahmachari and sannyas, and he lives in Toms Rivers, which is about an hour south in Jersey. And like he says, just that one instruction from Prabhupada, even though he was so highly qualified, I really liked his thing. And you can get a sense of Prabhupada's potency. Just hearing just a simple thing with that conviction from Prabhupada, I want you to prove that matter comes from life. And, he has serious health problems, and just taking that instruction into his heart, and he's still preaching that same thing, and it's just glorious. I was telling a story today of Srila Prabhupada. I actually spoke for about a half hour before the class, And I told the story of Prabhupada, who he was in his room in Calcutta. And when Prabhupada was in his room in Calcutta, he was with his disciples. And Calcutta is actually a very, 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 very special place for Prabhupada, his birthplace. And he was in his room there, and he was actually one of my godbrothers. Again, Prabhupada was thinking to himself, how was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? And what is the fortune Prabhupada was talking about? The fortune Prabhupada was talking about was that Srila Prabhupada so deeply understood the inner desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta could work through him to fulfill his desire. And there's nothing more fortunate than that. It doesn't mean that, you know, everyone has to do the same thing or has the same abilities and nature, but still, to really deeply understand without purely and sincerely to become an instrument for the will of the desire of the spiritual master without one's own agenda based on one's own personal selfishness in one sense. Of course, we do have our own needs to fulfill, but Prabhupada was thinking, how was I the fortune? I was given the example one time in Vrindavan, distinguished speaker, some dignitary from Vrindavan, one sannyasi, I don't remember who it was at this particular time. And he came, Prabhupada's appearance day, and said that Srila Prabhupada was the manifestation of Govinda, Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur. And he was using that example, why Govinda? Because of Govinda's service attitude to Lord Chaitanya. What was his service attitude? That after Lord Chaitanya took a big meal, he just kind of went to sleep in the doorway. And he wanted to massage Lord Chaitanya's feet in a particular way. And to get that position, he had to step over Lord Chaitanya. Now, it's an offense to step over a superior. But then, when he finished the massage, well, you know, Lord Chaitanya took a nap, and then he woke up and he said, Govinda, how come you didn't take the remnants of my food? How come you didn't take prasadam? He said, I didn't want to step over you. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, then how did you get inside the room? You stepped over me. He said, well, for your service, I can step over you. But for my own needs, I can't. So the person boldly said, who's a better servant of his Guru Maharaj than Srila Prabhupada? Then he said, Haridas Thakur. He said, who is more attached to the holy name of Krishna than Srila Prabhupada, who spread it all over the world? And then he said, Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprishtam. He understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya. And in that particular pastime, how does he understand the mind of Lord Chaitanya? He must have been an object of his mercy, which means that Rupa Goswami gave himself fully, in heart, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such a way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu trusted him with the inner desires of his heart that weren't known to others. So in the same way, he said, this person said, who can be who knew the mind of his Guru Maharaj? And then Srila Prabhupada, it must have been that he was an object of his mercy because of his attitude towards him, his heart, giving his heart. Anyway, Prabhupada was in his room, and when Prabhupada was in his room, he was thinking to himself out loud with his disciples sitting there, how have I become the lucky one? How have I become the lucky one? How have I become? And saying that because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disciples were a spiritual all-star team. If you know the history, Kunji Babu was such a took so much service and this, you know, he actually brought Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur out of Mayapur when he was, after he was doing his vow of Haridas Thakur, 1 billion names, 192 rounds a day for 10 years. And he brought him out and he organized his preaching. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati put his name when they built the Bhag Bazar Gaudiya Math on the pillar there. As the, he is the foundation. So it was him, there were scholars. You can go on and on. One godbrother was called by Bhaktisiddhanta the indefatigable incarnation of preaching. He opened up 64 temples in India, Bhakti Dayata Madhava Maharaj, and scholars. And so and Prabhupada was just thinking to himself. They were all sannyasis. Some were Brahmins. Some were from the age of four. We're studying and get, you know, and join the mutt, age of four, just studying Shastra, then join the mutt. She said, how was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? And then Prabhupada said, I was sent to send faithful to the order of my spiritual master. So it's been a very, very nice day glorifying Srila Prabhupada in many ways. And what I have talked about is different things I heard to describe Srila Prabhupada's position, his dedication, his speciality in service. One was given by formerly Jagadish Maharaj, and he used to study the Bhagavatam very carefully. He gave it one year, about 20 years ago, at a Prabhupada Vyas Puja in Vrindavan. He gave an analysis that he said that I'm reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and I think that Prabhupada is predicted in the Bhagavatam. And he gave a very nice analysis of this verse that was given by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. Because Narada Muni was telling Vyasadeva that he should write the Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni gave this verse, which was later included in the Bhagavatam, Tadvag Visargo Janatagna Viplavo Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abad Abad Yipi. It said Tadvag Visargo, these words, Visarga, are a very unique creation. Why? Janatagna Viplavo. They will cause a revolution. Janatagna means in the hearts of the impious people. Yasmin prati shlokam abhadavat yavi, even though it would be imperfectly composed. And Jagadish's analysis was, where before Srila Prabhupada did the words of the Bhagavatam cause this viplavo, this revolution in the hearts of impious people? I mean, to the extent that Prabhupada gave the message of the Bhagavatam all over the world, and his teachings are still spreading all over the world, causing a, it's actually quite wonderful. It's actually quite wonderful to see that revolution. And he said, and previous, he said, okay, someone could say the Bhagavatam purified people. He said, but when was it ever imperfectly composed? Because previously, commentaries on the Bhagavatam were in Sanskrit. And to write a commentary in Sanskrit, you had to know Sanskrit grammar, which means you had to be a student of Sanskrit, means you had to study the grammar for at least 12 years. So, where before was this actually done? Because previously it was composed properly. There weren't mistakes. But when Prabhupada wrote, his English was not grammatically perfect. So in that sense, it was imperfectly composed. And Prabhupada in the purport gave the example of his own Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada gave the example, if there's a fire in the house and you don't know the language perfectly, but somehow you can communicate to people to get out, then you've achieved the proper function of your words. So Jagadish was saying, where before has this happened? So he said, Prabhupada was predicted in the Bhagavatam. very interesting. I mean, I actually had many things that I actually said. One time I remember Bhakti by Bhav Puri Maharaj King, that's the younger Puri Maharaj, he must be in his 90s, very favorable to Prabhupada, and he gave a lecture in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And after the lecture, we fed him breakfast, the Mahaprasad from the deities, and although he was an old sannyasi, he ate heartily. And then I spoke up and I said, Maharaj, that was lecture. It was wonderful. You talked about surrender, very simple and clear ways. That was just like Prabhupada spoke. And he looked at me and he said, when your Guru Maharaj would speak, hearts would melt. And then I said to him, did you hear how Krishna consciousness is spreading in Russia? Because we were just getting word of that at the time, and it was quite miraculous. And he looked at it, he said, it must have become true, because your Guru Maharaj predicted it. And he said, the words of the pure devotee are infallible. And then he said, Kuntiyaha pratijanahi name popped up in Ashiti. Declare it boldly, my devotees will never perish. That's what Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Declare it boldly, my words will never perish. And Maharaj said, that also means the words of a pure devotee. Krishna protects their words. In fact, that's why Krishna told Arjuna to say it. Because his words would even be have more credence than Krishna's, because Krishna himself protects the words of a devotee. So there are many, many things I can say, but I'm going to have to end today because it's this nice little function, and I went in the afternoon to Waco. But the real treat last night, Kastuba Prabhu, he opened his Radha Krishna temple in Manhattan, in this yoga studio. And if you go to this yoga studio, it's not just a yoga studio, it's a temple. And it's in Broome Street, near a block from Lafayette, in Soho. And it's a very serious yoga studio, and the head of the yoga studio already worships Ganesh there. He's a very, very Brahminical person, although Western-born. And Jai Advaita Maharaj said, he looked at me after the function, he said, there was no place I wanted to celebrate Janmashtami, he said, than here. And it was just so wonderful. There was already this South Indian Brahmin who visits every year to do pujas for this person, and Kastuba consulted with him how to have a, not Pran Pratishtha, because it has to be more like home deities, but a ceremony. Very beautiful ceremony was done. But the wonderful part of it, it was such a, the deities are just absolutely exquisite. Whatever Kastuba does actually is first class and has these hanging, you know, lamps from the ceiling. And a couple of days before, Kastuba said, look, I'm trying to figure out the name of these deities. He said, I was thinking Radha Damodar because of my Guru Maharaj to Mah Krishna Maharaj. I said, this is the right name. And it was really wonderful. A lot of my disciples came. Even, you know, Luke was there, if you know him. And anyway, so many people were there. And what was nice is that these yoga people came. Established people from New York came. And we had wonderful kirtans. And to see all these people greeting the deities and taking prasadam, and it was just, again, it was Prabhupada's mercy. So very, very wonderful, and I was able to give the talk. So it was very enlivening for me, because you're giving the talk on Janmashtami, and it's nice that, you know, you're nourishing the devotees, but when you have 25 people, established people, in the world, you know, sitting there and listening to Srila Prabhupada's teachings and the reciprocation of the people, I came out with a book, Greetings for Vrindavan, so I told Kasuba, look, I'm going to donate a box for the Saber Puja. You know, whatever donations come, if anybody wants a book, we'll use that for the Saber of the Deities. And the whole box was gone. And I was sitting in the back, you know, people coming up for the book and talking to the people and seeing their just appreciation for everything. And one lady who Kasuba later referred to me, she was the sister of someone or something, and she got a book and she just said, you know, I'm doing yoga in this studio, but what's going on here? I mean, she was so legitimate. She said, it's so joyful. It's so joyful. And right when we were taking prasadam with the devotees, Radha Mohan was helping me serve, Kopa Vriksha, Govardhan Lal, you know, all these devotees were there. We helped me serve. We were serving prasadam too. And Kasuba told me, he said, you know, the yoga people, they don't eat very much, you know, especially at night because they do their yoga practice in the morning. They were taking so much prasadam and expressing such appreciation. And it was just a, you know, wonderful experience. And I'm also, you know, very eager to take darshan again of those deities. So, okay, I'm missing a little bit of the function here. I'm sorry we couldn't give our regular class today. But would anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Shastra.
We had a very special Radha Janmashtami here as well.
Very nice, thank you.
This, it was the new beginning. Satrup Maharaj was here, of course.
Okay, so Satrup Maharaj is now going to stay there in Delaware.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And we had their lordships Radha Madhava here for Abhishek.
Oh, okay.
And many nice devotees came, so it was very special. So we'll share in your ecstasies.
Thank you. Okay, I'll have to share in the ecstasies down there. Thank you, Shastra.
Sorry.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Nanda Dulal.
Nanda Dulal. Hare Bo.
Maharaj, I missed you today because I was busy, you know, working. So I had gone there in the temple for a few seconds, you know, during my break.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, you know, pay. One thing, Maharaj, if next week, you know, you speak a little bit of Radharani, because Radhashtami is coming, you know, it will enlighten us.
Okay, that's going to be a tough one because, okay. Let's see what happens. I can prepare something. Yeah, I'll do something. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bo, Maharaj. It's Paramananda.
Hey, Paramananda. Hare Bo.
Maharaj, okay. I was wondering how to get a copy of your book. I didn't even know that it came out.
Just email me.
Okay.
Okay. Email me, and by the grace of Shastra, who's in Rehoboth there, he has he wanted to distribute some of my books. He actually paid for the publication of the book, and I gave him 4 or 5 boxes, and he'll mail you a copy. Just send me your address, and I'll forward it to him, and he'll put it in the mail. You'll get a copy.
Okay, great, Maharaj.
I'm really getting good response from that book from these type of people who are not devotees, but kind of appreciative of it. So,
I'm looking forward to it, Maharaj.
Okay, good. It was nice to speak to your son.
Yeah, he was enlightened.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right.
If you're ever in New York, you stop at the, you know, the Radha Damodar Temple in Soho.
I will.
These cities are absolutely so tasteful and beautiful. And it's like an Indian temple. You know, I mean, you walk in there, it's completely like you're in India.
Wow.
It's really nice. The student that's going to do the puja every morning at 5 o'clock, and these yoga people are going to, they're going to do yoga, and then they'll take darshan of Radha and Krishna. And we're probably going to do Radhashtami there. And to me,
wow.
I mean, wow, that's going to be ecstatic. You know, Radhashtami there, among these people, and the reciprocation sitting with these people, you know, it's just making that kind of bridge with these people, and you can share with them. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Paramananda.
Okay, Hare Bol Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Jai Nitai here.
Jai Nitai, Hare Bol. So you must be excited to hear about the temple there.
Very excited. I talked to Kastuba a little bit a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But it's true. Whatever he does it well.
Yeah, I really... and, you know, I would say nice thing that all the prasadam was arranged by me through my disciples, and the Rubble family made the bulk of the prasadam, and then Jai Subhadra made Nishti Dahi, Kishori Radha made Sakadasi type cake, Dan Mohan and Kamini, they brought some sweets, and then the Rubble family cooked the rest and delivered it. And, you know, it's almost going to be like in New York, like the temple of my disciples, really, for these festivals, you know.
It sounds great.
It does. It does. And when you go there, you'll have a good time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And, okay, where are you?
I'm in Dallas, actually.
Okay, so you went to the functions there.
Yeah.
Okay. It was nice, though, having a function with, you know, it was so nice to me, too. I mean, the people I was meeting there, and it was just so nice serving prasadam. And I did the midnight artik, and it's one of these altars, you know, it's just like India, you know, you step in the altar and did the midnight artik. Yeah, it's really well done.
Yeah, I've talked about Ganesh temple there, so it'll be interesting to see.
Well, they also have a Lord Shiva temple there too.
Right, right.
They built that on the other side there.
Uh-huh.
But you know, the way the ceremony was done by this Ramachandra Pandit, and he was in really such ecstasy. You know, he's a Sri Vaishnava. They generally worship Narayan, so he was a considerate person. So Kastuba worked through him to do this, which started with this, you know, fire yagya, and put a string from the fire yagya to the deities, you know, some part of the installation or the type of, and he understood that it wasn't a full installation, that there were different standards, and this would be more home worship.
Uh-huh.
And then the deities, when they open, the first thing they see is the tradition is they see, the first thing the deities see is when they're open is young girls, right?
Right.
So, Kastuba asked that the Rubble family's daughter, their oldest daughter, Brinda, because he said she's really so first class, you know. So she came, and this Eddie Stern, the head of the yoga studio, his daughter, and they came, and that was the first thing they saw. And then Jai Advaita Maharaj and myself brought the parampara, which was worshipped, and the pictures on the plate of all the acharyas, and Tamal Krishnamurti. When I saw Tamal Krishnamurti's, you know, in this very tasteful line of Guru Parampara,
yeah,
I kind of looked at Kastuba, and I really thought how much he would be pleased.
Right, right.
You know, to be sitting there in that studio in New York, you know?
Right,
right. There, you know, and, you know, and we brought in the Guru Parampara, so that was also nice, and he had Jai Advaita Swami do the first artik, kind of representing Prabhupada and the group Parampara, such a senior Vaishnav,
right.
And the name Radha Damodar, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's wonderful. A quick question, Mars, not a philosophical question, but someone was asking for your, there's an offering you wrote to Prabhupada called Krishna Prema for the Simple and Sane.
I wrote what? Krishna?
You wrote an offering to Prabhupada. It was called Krishna Prema for the Simple and Sane. Anyway, we can talk about it later. Someone wanted a copy of that.
Did I really write something like that?
Apparently.
Do you remember it?
I don't remember it, but...
I don't remember it either, but I have all my offerings. And
okay.
It seems like, hey, why not make a song? Krishna Prema, Simple and Sane.
Well, we got Paramananda on the line, so...
Okay. Okay, thanks. Good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bo Maharaj, it's Ariel here.
Oh, Ariel. Hare Bo.
Sounds like you had
a little bit. Yeah, and you know, when I went up to Albany, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that African-American girl?
Yeah.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
Rastafarian?
Yeah.
Yeah, when she came up to me at the Albany program we had, I told about that the last Sunday. We had a wonderful program up in Albany, 100 people, and she said she was going to write you just to say Hare Krishna. She remembered you. You had a talk with her afterwards.
Yeah, we spoke at the end of the program there, so,
yeah. Nice to hear from you. And you celebrated it in Christchurch in New Zealand.
Yeah, we had, I mean, today's the day after Vyasa Puja. Vyasa Puja was yesterday, so we had a nice program here. And Jamastami was good also.
What's that?
Jamastami was also pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? One more person?
Hare Krishna, Gumaraj.
Who's this?
This is Kishori Radha.
Okay, I'm with your husband. You let him out for the night free, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Ryan
good.
Starts school tomorrow, so.
Okay. No, I couldn't imagine. You already went to, with the triplets, you already went to the Janmashtami at night, and then Duaco, but it's nice. And Jai Subhadra is here.
Oh, yeah.
Without her kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. I'm kind of sorry I couldn't prepare the class. But somehow we got some katha and we got to hear something. It's really, a hectic day because when I did the Janmashtami, I had to drive an hour and 15 minutes to get back where I was staying upstate after the Janmashtami from New York. And then driving here to Tuaco was an hour and 15 minutes. And then we had a Tuaco and then driving here tonight. And then I'll drive someplace else. So it was hectic, but blissful. Thank you all. Vancha kalpa trubhyas jagrita sindhu. Vedha cha. Maybe some of you want to hear the kirtan. I'll let you hear the kirtan. Okay, Hare Bo. Thank you all.